The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, March the 28th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We got a lot to cover tonight, guys. Be sure to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. We want to welcome all of our viewers. If it's your first time joining us, hit us up in the comment section below. Let us know that you are new and that and where you guys are joining us from. We want to welcome everybody from Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, real quick before we get started, we want to remind everyone that we do have a free app, and it is available on Android and Apple devices. You can pick yours up today by going to your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you. Just simply type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo. Download our free app today and hit yes to push notifications. For you guys watching the visual of this, if you'll go in the description of this video, there's going to be a link where it says download our free app. You just simply click on that link and it's going to walk you through on how to get our free app. So like I said, guys, there is a lot happening right now that we want to cover. And we're going to get all that into that into this segment tonight. So we've got things that are continuing to cripple the food supply of America. For example, there was a report that just came out. This is a brand new report. Dairy cattle in the state of Texas and Kansas both are testing positive for the bird flu. Now, again, this has been an ongoing thing. This quote-unquote bird flu epidemic has been spreading across different states. And now, according to a new report from the Associated Press, milk from dairy cows in both Texas and Kansas both have now tested positive for the bird flu, according to U.S. officials.
Scientists have identified the mysterious illness affecting Texas dairy cows as bird flu. So far, three farms have tested positive for the strain. The Texas dairy industry brings in about $50 billion statewide and is fourth in milk production in the nation. The Texas Agriculture Department says it will use every resource available to maintain high quality standards.
Now, this all comes, guys, think about this. So this comes on the heels of that massive wildfire that broke out in Texas that impacted all those ranchers, those cattle ranchers there that killed who knows how many cattle that were destroyed from this fire. Now we have bird flu showing up not only in Texas, but also in Kansas. And again, this comes on the heels of a report saying that the virus is affecting older dairy cows in those states and in New Mexico, causing decreased lactation and low appetite. All this comes a week after officials in Minnesota announced that goats on a farm where there had been an outbreak of a bird flu among poultry were diagnosed with the virus as well. Quote, it is believed to be the first time bird flu, also known as highly pathogenic avian influenza, has been found in U.S. livestock. So this is the first time that this bird flu has now been found in U.S. livestock. All of the other reports, it was showing up in turkeys, it was showing up in chickens, all the poultry was impacted. So now we've moved from the poultry being impacted in the states that now the meat, the livestock industry is being impacted this. Now, you couple with this with the recent bridge collapse in Baltimore. And according to reports coming out there, look at this. Baltimore bridge crash causes supply chain concerns.
Now, this is a main bridge as also a gateway into Baltimore. And this is huge for the commerce for the state of Maryland. More than 32,000 people travel across this bridge every single day. So you can only imagine the ripple effect that this could have now.
Okay, did you hear that? Let me rewind that. Listen to what she says here.
Travel across this bridge every single day for the commerce for the state of Maryland. Now, this is a main bridge as also a gateway into Baltimore. And this is huge for the commerce for the state of Maryland. More than
this is massive for the state of Maryland for commerce.
32,000 people travel across this bridge every single day. So you can only imagine the ripple effect that this could have.
Now, again, the ripple effect. So, again, we was already seeing supply chain disruptions, complications, slowdowns, all of this stuff. And yet here's a yet another kink in the hose, if you would, that's going to cause another massive ripple effect. So look at the disasters, guys, that keeps pummeling America. I'm going to get into a little bit on this today. We're going to talk about some other stuff. But look at all these disasters and how they're impacting the food supply. They're impacting transport. They're impacting the economy and all angles of this hitting. And now, again, bird flu is now showing up in bird flu is also showing up in livestock now for the first time. So it's gone from just the poultry. Now it's going into livestock. That's impacting the food supply chain. And now we got this bridge collapse, which is a main artery there in Maryland. And we're seeing the impacts of that as well. And I'm going to read that. This is from BBC News. The suspension could have a significant ripple effect on global supply chains. According to one expert, more than 750,000 cars and vehicles passed over that bridge last year alone, including the U.S., U.K., and EU brands such as General Motors, Ford, Jaguar, Land Rover, Nissan, Fiat, and Audi. All of these, Baltimore is the busiest U.S. port for car shipments and is also the largest U.S. port by volume for handling farm and construction machinery. So look, all of these industries, if you would, are going to be impacted by this. Again, U.S. car port shipments, largest U.S. port by volume by handling farm and construction machinery. Again, major U.S. brands, all of them rely on this main artery that has now been crippled. And here's more. According to the report, this is also the second largest port for U.S. coal exports. U.S. Secretary of Transportation said at a briefing that there was, quote, no question that this will be a major and protracted impact to supply chains. It's too soon to offer estimates on what it will take to clear the channel and reopen the port. This port here, the Maritime Traffic Port of Baltimore, is directly responsible in itself for some 15,000 jobs and supports an estimated 140,000 more. So guys, this is a massive blow. This is not just some bridge that collapsed and just a handful of people died. No, the ripple effect, if you would, since they're using that term, we'll use that. The ripple effect of this is far greater reaching. But let's move on. Then look at, this is from the Epic Times. Experts warn mass migration threatens U.S. food supply. So when you read this piece, and we'll talk about a little bit of this, I'll go into this, but all of these diseases and flesh-eating parasites are being carried over into the States. Tuberculosis is one of these major things that are being carried over. And consequently, look at this. Let me highlight this. It's already infected Texas cattle. Again, yet another thing that is impacting the food industry. The mass influx of these individuals crossing into the United States, with them, and they're bringing in, again, all of these transmittable diseases, and it's impacting the food supply because it's these transmittable diseases and parasites. And this report says that it can ultimately affect national security. Animal health experts have sounded the alarm on this. One individual, Dr. Michael Vickers, has been a veterinarian for over 50 years and served in the Texas Animal Health Commission, and is warning that the threat to the food supply is already apparent from the past cases of tuberculosis that has been transmitted from these individuals. And it's been transmitted to dairy cows in Texas. stop. So you've got fires impacting cattle. You've got bird flu now impacting the cattle. And now we've got these diseases and parasites that has come from individuals crossing over illegally into our country through the border of Texas. Now, when I read this, guys, again, this is what we do. We're not just giving you news. We're giving you news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. When I read this, I automatically remember the warning that was given from the Lord to nations, that when those nations turn from God and it causes the Lord to remove his hand of favor from those nations, it opens the door for these very things that we're discussing today. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. When we go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's an entire list of the blessings and curses from the Lord that come upon nations depending on which side of the tracks they're on. Blessing if they diligently obey the voice of the Lord, observe carefully to do his commandments, then these blessings shall come. But this is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, all the way down here to verses 14. But then he gets to verse 15. And on the other side of the coin, he says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and you do not observe carefully all of the commandments and statutes of which I give you today, then all of these curses shall come upon you. Well, consequently, when you start going down here in verse 18, Deuteronomy 28, 18, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Let me say that again. He said, if any nation fails to acknowledge the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they turn from him, they abhor him, they completely revolt against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they turn to other gods, they turn to idolatry, they practice abomination, practice wickedness. He said that one of the curses, and there's a whole list of them, and you can go to Leviticus 26 as well, and it gives you the same things from a different angle. One of these curses is, the Lord says, the produce of the land and the increase of cattle and offspring of flocks will be cursed. According to this report from the Epic Times, concerns are growing that it's only a matter of time before U.S. agriculture experiences a fresh disaster on a grand scale. Quote, these people are just destroying our country and our food supply is going to be a real critical issue. The report indicates that over the last several years, thousands of Texas cattle have already been slaughtered after being infected with a drug-resistant tuberculosis through contact, I'll let you guess, where it was transmitted from. He went on and recalled two separate incidents. Now, the guys, again, this is a veterinarian there on the ground in this location. This is not something that he's reading secondhand or he's hearing about it from somewhere in town. It's some gossip spread around. No, he's right there on the firing lines of this and sees it firsthand. And he recalls two separate instances in which dairy herds were infected with human strains of tuberculosis right in the Texas panhandle. Certain strains of tuberculosis are zoonotic, meaning that they can spread between humans and animals. Guys, that's what they've been warning about. If remember, we talked about the WEF has been sounding the alarm and saying it's not a matter of if, but when. Remember, we talked about disease X, and they're talking about that this is their greatest fear, that we would see some type of new virus, some new plague and some new pandemic that would come from the spread of animals to humans. Now, again, we're seeing this in poultry. It's jumping to cattle. And now there has been reports of human contact of the avian flu, but not on the level in which we get really, really great concern about. But again, they're saying it's not a matter of if, but when. One Texas herd of 10,000 was affected in Castro County back in 2015, and another 13,000 were impacted in Sherman County in 2019. Come on, do I got anybody that's listening today on Apple, Spotify, the YouTube chat? You guys are from Texas. Maybe you're from this area. Listen, I'm surely you already know about this. I would think that you do. Eamon Blair, who is a border security advocate at the Texas Public Policy Foundation and former Border Patrol agent, made the following statement, quote, "We're really just mass releasing these people into the United States that could be carrying multiple diseases that aren't even checked." I mean, did you guys see this story? They talked about this is coming out of the state of Florida. Measles outbreak warning. World Health Organization sounds the alarm as cases of measles rise in Florida. More than half of the world's countries will be at a high or very high risk of measles by the end of this year unless, quote, urgent action is taken by governments to protect children. This is according to the World Health Organization. Now, I wonder what those actions are. I'll let you figure that one out. Measles has been on the rise across most regions, especially due to a high amount of missed shots during the womp-womp pandemic when health systems were overrun with an excessive amount of patients. So, again, measles is exploding and it's taken off, and Florida is seeing one of the highest surges of this in a long time, and they're blaming it on, watch this, they're not blaming it on individuals coming into our country bringing it. They're blaming it on, or in other words, the official narrative that they want us to believe is that it's because these people miss their ouchie ouch. All right, and it's going to get more and more bizarre, guys, as we go on tonight. I told you we got a lot to cover tonight. As you know, coming up in just less than 2 weeks, we are less than 2 weeks away from the great solar eclipse of April 8th. This solar eclipse is unlike any solar eclipse that I have ever seen in my 47 years of living. I've never seen so much stigma, so much anticipation, so many harbingers, signs, omens, whatever you want to call it, that has been centered around this event. And it just gets more and more bizarre because even within our own government, we've got National Guard being deployed. We've been warned of cell phone disruptions to be expected during this event. We've been warned that there could be, certain type of weather anomalies. The FAA has sent out warnings over this. And look, you can't make this stuff up, guys. It gets even, and look, and all the while, you've got bizarre celestial things going on. You've got a devil comet. You had a blood moon that just took place. And now look at this. According to a report, and we reported this on our main website, and this was unbelievable. NASA plans on firing 3 rockets at this solar eclipse. What? I'm going to pull this. It's right up on your screen for you guys watching. NASA has announced it will fire 3 scientific sounding rockets into the moon's shadow on Monday, April 8th, during a partial solar eclipse across North America, in what will be a total solar eclipse for a 115-mile wide path through parts of Mexico, 15 U.S. states, and Canada, and a partial solar eclipse for the entire Americans. The event will see a sudden drop in sunlight. Now look at this next part. Listen to me real carefully. The space agency's project, so this project wherein which they will fire these rockets at this event, is called an atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path. Let me say that again. Atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path. Will investigate how that drop in sunlight and temperature affects Earth's upper atmosphere. The acronym that they've given for this is APEP, which, look at this, you can't make this stuff up, friend, which is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, nemesis of the sun deity Ra. Let me say that one more time. A-P-E-P, Apep. It is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, nemesis of the sun deity Ra. Now look, I pulled this right up here. This is just a simple Google search. Apep. Apep was an ancient Egyptian deity, listen to this, who embodied darkness and disorder. Interesting. And was thus the opponent of light, which meant order and truth. Let me say that again. This deity that they named this program after embodied darkness and disorder, which is the polar opposite of light, order, and truth. Is that not absolutely incredible to anybody else? So let's read on. What's the point of this? Each rocket will eject four secondary instruments the size of a 2-liter soda bottle that also measure the same data points, so it's similar to results from 15 rockets while only launching three. A professor of engineering and physics at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida directs the Space and Atmospheric Instrumentation Lab, went on to say that, quote, the point of APEP is to look for perturbations or changes in the Earth's atmosphere during the eclipse, with four small scientific instruments measuring changes in electric and magnetic fields, density, and temperature. So let me say that again. The premise of this experiment by NASA is to measure changes in electric and magnetic fields, density, and temperature. The rockets will reportedly enter the ionosphere, where the air becomes electric. It's here that ions and electrons wax and wane in temperature and density at sunrise and sunset. It's expected that the rapid eclipse of the sun will see waves ripple through the ionosphere. It's interesting. Here's that word ripple again. Now, here's something else that's interesting about this. Now, we pointed this out in another broadcast, but when I read that verbiage of this, it reminded me of this story or this report. Officials warn of widespread cell phone disruption ahead of solar eclipse. Now, when we scroll down on this article, look, I want to read the following. An article shared on NASA's website states that the eclipse itself could also interfere with the connectivity. Quote, the sudden changes in ionospheric conditions during an eclipse can lead to the formation of ionospheric anomalies. Remember, we pointed this out, last week? Such as ionospheric holes or depletions. These anomalies can disrupt radio signals and GPS navigation systems, affecting communication and navigation over affected regions. So again, here, the same organization that's warning about the eclipse doing this, they're conducting this experiment with these rockets, firing this thing at the eclipse, using this program that is named after a serpent deity. And I'm telling you, you just can't make this stuff up. It gets more and more bizarre. Oh, and listen to this. If that's not bizarre enough, let's just add more to this. Guess what else is firing up in the same time frame? Now, this is from CERN. This is CERN's website. Quote, CERN's accelerators gear up for action after the winter maintenance break. So guys, listen, CERN, this is, again, if you don't know what this is this collider that is in Switzerland. This is something that these people have created with the efforts and the intents to try to recreate the Big Bang theory. This thing has reportedly feared that it has been responsible for opening portals. Now, of course, the fact checkers are all over it, saying that no, it's not opened or is opening a portal to hell. Again, there's been a lot of fears. There's been a lot of uncertainties that this thing is going to rip a hole in to another dimension, and it's going to open a portal to the underworld. And again, all the fact checkers are, you know, they want to come and say, oh, no, you don't need to worry about this and this. But look, you can do what you want with that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, the fact checkers, they have a 100% strike, or they have a 100% batting average. They never miss anything. They always get it right. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, but anyway, CERN is restarting again. Now, I want to read this. Let's read this together here. Quote, the injector chain also has an ambitious year ahead, serving a busy fixed target program. Physicists, is set to start in the PS East area on March 22nd, followed by the PS TOF facility on the 25th of March. Physics in ISOLDE downstream on the PS booster will start on April 8th. When will it start? On April 8th. You've got to be kidding me. So this thing, again, look at the timing of this. This will all follow by the SPS North area on the 10th of April. The antimatter factory is set to start delivering antiprotons to its experiments on April 22nd, while the AWAKE facility will run for 10 weeks and is the SPS HIRAD MAT facility for 1 week runs. So again, this large Hadron Collider, CERN, again, is for the first time since the winter shutdown. It's according to reports, the first collisions of proton beams are expected on April the 8th when all tests and fine tuning of the machine are over. Guys, I don't know if they purposely set that up on the same time frame as the solar eclipse. I don't know, but if this is true, if this information is true, and they're firing this thing up on that date, here is yet again something else that makes this eclipse even more ominous. So, guys, I don't know what disasters could come out of that, if any. But I do know this, that America cannot sustain any more disasters like we've been seeing, guys. And look, they're already warning the NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Agency, are already putting out warnings. Let me pull this up. I'm going to show you this. This is from these are from meteorologists at AccuWeather. They're already warning that this year is going to see an explosive Atlantic hurricane season. They're calling this thing a supercharged hurricane season that could, quote, spawn a near record number of storms in the Atlantic this year. And forecasters may even run out of names for the storms amid a frenzy of tropical systems. So they're already telling us, guys, we're only in the month of March, and they're already forecasting this type of hurricane season. I'm going to read this. Quote, the scene is being set for a turbulent year in the tropics, one that could approach a record-setting pace and may even exhaust the entire list of names for tropical storms and hurricanes, and then some. Of course, hurricane season officially gets underway on June 1st. So look at this. We're 3 months out, and they're already warning us that of this type of season before it even starts. The report went on to say that, quote, all signs continue to point towards the upcoming season being worse than the last, with the potential for the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season to rank as one of the most active in history. Again, guys, could you imagine if this thing spawns a handful or more of Category 5 hurricanes that strike the United States? The damage could be catastrophic. The toll that it's taking financially upon our nation, on our infrastructure, all these things. And you know, when I think about this, I'm reminded of Luke 21. Jesus said, on the earth there will be distress of nations with perplexity, and the waves and the seas roaring with men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectations of the things that are coming upon the earth. And of course, we can't forget that we are still in an election year. And look at this. According to a report from Bloomberg, cyber threat to the U.S. power grids are escalating as election approaches. Experts are warning that our power grids are facing heightened risk of cyber and physical attacks as the election nears. They're warning, this report warns that, of course, they're warning of state-backed hackers. So in other words, that's going to China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, whatever. But they're also saying to be on the lookout for these homegrown, I guess you could say, attacks, such as what happened in North Carolina substations in late 2022. Jim Robb, who is the chief executive officer of the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, said that, quote, we are anticipating a fairly active year on the security front. And of course, guys, we can't forget that there's going to be lines, signs, and wonders and strange things in the heavens. And that's exactly, have you guys heard about this story? This is coming out of Oklahoma City. A mysterious object, an event, was seen in the metro skies of Oklahoma City last week. And one news organization interviewed the witness who saw this. I'm going to pull up this video on this. This made a lot of headlines in that area. And the experts are still baffled. They still can't identify what this thing is. Check this out.
You see it? A mysterious object seen in the western Oklahoma City skies.
Maybe you saw this video going around on TikTok. Well, it came from the southwest area of Oklahoma City.
All day, News 4's Caitlin Ogle has been trying to track down where it came from.
Faster than that. What is that?
March 4th at 7:29 p.m., Steve Aragona outside with his kids.
Everybody was playing out front, and my neighbor Kevin goes, hey, Steve, take a look at this. And we look up, and this white thing appeared in the sky. Everybody had their opinions on what it was.
Not the shooting star.
No, it's moving too slow for a shooting star.
Oh, wow.
Wait, that's a UFO.
Look, it's separating from itself.
Like Steve, we wanted to know what it was.
Yes!
So we caught up with OU aerospace professor Ken Carson. He was bowling with his senior league.
It looked like a normal ascent of a rocket with a booster separation staging. It's a new blast, if you will, of oxidized propellant.
Okay, but here's the caveat to this. Wait and hear this.
Coming off the separation of that first stage.
On March 4th, SpaceX had a launch from Cape Canaveral. That was at 6:56 Eastern Time, 5:56 Oklahoma Time. Steve saw this at 7:29.
Right now, we're facing west. You can see it here on my compass. And we're told the object was seen over there, just over those roofs. Now, I know what you're thinking. This was probably from SpaceX in Florida. But if that was the case, they would have seen it over here in the east.
Dun, dun, dun. So what is it?
Wayne Harris-Weirich is a local astronomer.
If you look very carefully at that, there's kind of like two bright spots.
He has his own theories.
I looked at all the launches from SpaceX and other publicly announced launches. My best guess is Vandenberg Air Force Base launched some sort of secret military flight into to do whatever it is they do in orbit.
That's in California. We called, but a public affairs representative told us the timing of their launches also don't add up.
The mystery deepens.
Until we find out more, experts say keep looking up.
I'm just glad people are outside looking up in the sky.
In Oklahoma City, Caitlin Ogle, Oklahoma's News 4.
So is this not bizarre that it wasn't a rocket, it wasn't aircraft, it wasn't military? Again, I'm not saying it's alien or extraterrestrial in origin, but again, the whole point of me reporting this, guys, is you need to be prepared. I need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 type of deception that I believe that they have been conditioning society for with these strange signs and wonders and deceptions that they're going to try to pull off this stuff. The enemy, again, I believe that we have not seen deception on the scale of that magnitude in our lifetime. And I believe this is coming and it's preparing us and it's setting the stage for that. But I get tickled over how they, you know, the officials keep coming out and people capture these things on film. They capture them on video. they see these things, and then when they come out and they give the official narrative on it, they tell us, well, it wasn't this, and it certainly wasn't that, and they kind of just blow you off and want you to move on. Here's another great example of what we're talking about right here. You remember we reported on this balloon. This was recently. This is not the one last year. The balloon that they recovered off the coast of Alaska. Remember, I think it was a week or two ago we talked about this. This is from Fox News. Pentagon reveals that the balloon that was recovered off the coast of Alaska had been in the ocean for well over a year. Now, something doesn't add up. Now, according to the original report on this, military officials were sent to investigate a large balloon that had a payload on it that was discovered by fishermen off the coast of Alaska. This was a couple weeks ago. The Department of Defense confirmed, quote, a U.S. commercial fishing vessel discovered portions of what appears to be a large balloon and a payload that was caught in their nets while fishing off the coast of Alaska. Now, according to the update, let me read this. The Department of Defense confirmed that balloon debris that was recovered off the coast of Alaska last month appeared to have been in the ocean for over a year. Okay, that would put us into the time frame of the first incident we had with the balloon that came from China and the cylindrical object that was shot down over Michigan. Does it not? It puts us in the same time frame. Yet we've never heard about this. A Department of Defense spokesperson confirmed to Fox News that an initial inspection of the balloon indicated that it had been in the ocean again for well over a year. Some material has been transferred to the U.S. government facilities for, quote, further examination and analysis. Now, here's what I think is hilarious. Ready? The origin of this balloon and its purpose are not yet known. Sure. Okay. Sure. Again, unknown, mystery, don't know, hands tied. Nobody gives us anything. Again, they want us just to forget about these things and move on. All right. I got one more report I want to give you. This one is, I want to take you to the Middle East. This one's interesting. Israel is reportedly getting ready to launch a massive ground operation in Rafah. Now look at the time frame of this. Somewhere in mid-April or early May. Now, if you guys know your stuff, you will know that if they launch this, guys, in mid-April, that we're literally talking about right around the time of Passover. Again, consequently, it's right in the same time frame as all these other weird things that are happening. The solar eclipse, the Horned Comet, the Civil War movie coming out, the weird anomalies centered around the solar eclipse, the events that are transpiring in connection with that event. Then now, again, according to this report, we are seeing, or at least we're being told, that Israeli ground operations could begin in Rafah in mid-April or early May. Quote, following the failure of the latest round of negotiations in Qatar, Israel is not willing to make any further concessions to Hamas and is gearing up for an invasion of Rafah at the end of Ramadan. The three-day, again, this ends right around April 12th or in early May at the latest. So again, if this report is correct, guys, then this puts this military operation happening or transpiring literally right after the end of this solar eclipse, again on April 8th. Now, again, guys, this also comes on the heels of Netanyahu canceling his Israeli delegation to the U.S. after America, literally, or not America, I should say, but this current administration turned its back on Israel after refraining from vetoing a UN Security Council proposed calling a ceasefire in Gaza. This also comes on the heels of where Joe Biden said he drew a red line for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, where in which he said that he demanded that they would, that they do not attack Rafah. And then we had the report again, guys, of top Democrat Chuck Schumer who called for new elections in Israel to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, even going as far as to saying that he was an obstacle to peace. Here's a little more on that.
This morning, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is rejecting President Biden's criticism after Biden this weekend claimed that Netanyahu's policies are hurting Israel.
He's hurting Israel more than helping Israel by making the rest of the world. It's contrary to what Israel stands for. And I think it's a big mistake. So I want to see a ceasefire.
Biden warned an attack on Rafah, a key city in southern Gaza, would cross a red line that would leave open the possibility of the U.S. withholding some types of military assistance. But last night, Netanyahu told the website Politico that he will press ahead with invading Rafah, saying, "We'll go there. You know, I have a red line. You know what that red line is? That October 7th doesn't happen again." October 7th, referring to the day Hamas attacked Israel, triggering the war. When could the fighting end? Netanyahu predicting maybe 6 weeks, maybe four. In the meantime, a U.S. military ship has left Virginia, carrying equipment to Gaza's coastline, where troops will build a pier to deliver badly needed humanitarian aid to Palestinians trapped in the war zone.
Hold on, stop, guys. So, listen, this is what's concerning about this. Again, every time an administration, we pointed this out on our last podcast, every time an administration begins to point or jab its a finger in the eye of Israel, demanding things, pushing it around, bullying them, demanding them to give up land for peace, whatever the case may be, turning their back on, there's always been disasters to follow. Consequently, as we pointed out on the last podcast, within 24 hours of the U.S. refusing to veto this U.N. resolution, we had a disaster take place in America with this bridge collapse. And we haven't seen the end of that. As one reporter said, we're seeing the ripple of it that is still to happen and still to take place. So this is very concerning, guys, in the days ahead. So the bottom line is, friend, next month, the month of April is going to be unprecedented. The month of April is going to be like a month, I believe, that we have not seen. If we're just talking about this, and if somebody actually, if we could generate a list, if we made a list of all these events, these events that are coinciding with this, with Passover, with the solar eclipse, with the celestial signs in the heavens, with this war in the Middle East, all of these things, CERN restarting again, and the list goes on. I'm telling you, this is what makes this, this is why there's such a high alert around this, centered around this. So the month of April, I'm going to go ahead and say right now, buckle up. Buckle up for the month of April. Oh, and by the way, we don't even know what's going to happen with the red heifers. What is the third temple going to begin to be constructed in Israel? Are they going to sacrifice these red heifers on Passover? Time will tell. We are literally 2 weeks out till April 8th, till this solar eclipse, till the horned comet comes into its closest in proximity to the earth and to the sun. We're just days out or 2 weeks out for CERN restarting again in Switzerland, and Passover is getting ready to take place on the Jewish calendar, and Netanyahu has already said fooey on Biden and his red line, and we're moving forward to do what we got to do to defend our nation. So you know what I say to that, friend? I always leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, it's time to look up. It's time to lift up your heads, because our redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our website if you've not bookmarked our website. And better yet, download our free app. That's how you can keep up with every post, every headline, every prophecy message we do, every viewpoint podcast, all of it. It's right there on our app, and it's available free for you on Apple and Android devices. Listen, if this ministry has been a blessing to you and encourages you, equips you, and informs you, whatever the case would be, We want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. There's two ways you can do that. One is electronically. You can go through the app or through the website right there on your screen. It shows you how to do that. Or you can give by check or money order. Again, right there in front of you, that is, you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for this tonight on this Thursday, March 28th. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Lord willing, same time, same place, same channel with another great broadcast. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.